Yes, amen. Well, today we're going to be looking at great deception. And it's been on my mind for at least a week, some of the things that are here in the first chapter of Romans. And I've been kind of asking the Lord, Lord, what is it when you said that you turned them over and turned them into such and such? We're going to find that in this first chapter of Romans. So let me read it, and some of the verses I'm going to read in the Amplified, because they're a little different, a little difficult to understand. Amen? So we'll start in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Well, first of all, we're talking about the wrath of God. There is a reality of the wrath of God. I mean, he's not always just loving, and there are things that really anger the Lord. And I think some of the things that Paul is talking about here, and by the way, what Paul is talking about here, he is writing to the church, but he's not writing about the church. He's writing about the people of the world. He's writing about society. And whether it was as bad as when he was living, or as when we're in our generation today, if not, it's definitely prophetic that it's going to happen. So I believe there was a remnant of this that was going on in Paul's day, and whatever remnant it was enough that God has noticed it. Now, let's see what he's having to say. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." What does that mean, who hold the truth? You know, this is this kind of language that we're not used to today. Ordinarily, you'd ask somebody, "Do you hold the truth?" "Oh, yeah, I hold the truth." No, that isn't what this word "hold" means. It means suppress. Or here in the Amplified Bible, it means, I think it's repression, suppression or repression. Let me read it here in the Amplified. It says, "Who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative." So in other words, the truth is known, but it's, I think the better word here is suppress. Because suppress, you say, "Brother Mark, what's the difference between repress and suppress?" I think the word suppress more speaks of kind of almost an official policy, almost as if it were a concerted effort, a conspiracy, if you please. And maybe even the law is on the side of trying to repress something. Say the government wants to repress a certain rebellion, it wants to put it down. Well, this is what government and society is doing now to this understanding of the Word of God. They are suppressing, they are holding, suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. Okay? So it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Now, you can't tell me that people cannot see and know that this world was made by God and ordained by God and upheld by God. It's known, but they don't want to believe it. Wasn't it David that said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God"? The fool. These people are fools. And by the way, the people that I'm talking to that are in political power, government power, in power over universities and what have you. In other words, they're in charge of just about everything today. These are the people that are repressing, amen, and suppressing the word of truth. And let me go on here. We were talking about evolution. How did we get to where we are? So these people that have all their doctoral degrees and anthropologists and all kinds of other things, by the way, they're very intelligent people. They're not stupid. They may not be stupid, but they're fools. The Word of God says they're fools because they deny the existence of God. And therefore, somewhere back in, I think it was the early 1800s, maybe you know better than I do, Darwin came along. You don't happen to know what year Darwin came along, do you? Maybe it was earlier than that. But anyway, his doctrines began to find fertile ground. Oh yeah, God didn't make us, we just evolved. You know, I remember reading somewhere, somebody did a calculation, it was a Christian brother that did a calculation of what would be the probability that we just evolved as human beings, as with a human soul, the intelligence and everything else that we are today. Do you know what that probability was? I forget what it was, but I can't count the number of zeros. A probability of one in gazillion, a one in gazillion. And anything that I have seen of change insofar as evolution, insofar as changes in DNA, I have never seen anything change for the better. Every DNA change I have ever seen brings in disease, it brings in more handicap, it brings in more birth defects. I have never seen DNA evolution do anything for the better. And they would just have us believe that there was a bunch of chemical soup somewhere and a bolt of lightning hit it, and all of a sudden, Viola, we've got life coming out of that. Not only that we've got one-celled amoebas, but the next thing you know, these amoebas or bacteria or whatever they are crawling around on the ground. And next thing you know, we've got apes and monkeys, and oh, they're only a little bit, and they're going to be human beings. Come on, come on. This cannot be. This cannot be. These people are intelligent, and they have got to know better. What I can't understand is this woke theology. Woke theology isn't quite a theology, but yes, it is a theology. It's a religion that these people are proclamating. What I cannot understand is this new addition to this of gender. What do they call it? Gender, anyway, change genders. Little girl says, I don't want to be a girl anymore, mommy. I want to be a little boy. Well, the problem is they don't go and tell their mommy. They say something, the school teacher begins to tell them, you know, children, you can choose whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. You want to be a boy, you can be a boy. You want to be a girl, you can be a girl. And, you know, the sad thing is, this has become the law. And some of the school districts have made a policy that they will not tell the parents. They believe that the children's rights supersede the parents. And one of the things I mentioned here is I decided I was going to do six things, but I'll give you the one right now. There is a California school board president. And she represents the whole board. I don't know what town it's in, but she has decided that the parents are going to have rights. And they're not going to do any of this secret gender business without informing the parents. Do you know that the Attorney General of California has gone against this school board and this woman at the head of this school board? Because they don't believe they don't believe that parents have rights, that children have rights that supersede the parents. Doesn't matter. 6-year-old child is supposed to be smarter than their parents. Come on, give me a break. This cannot be true. So we're talking about, they first came up with this theory of evolution. And I asked a brother one time, I said, why? These are intelligent people, by the way, people with PhDs, people smarter than I am, people that can memorize chemistry and put all these little chemicals together and know just how it fits together and how to name them and everything else. I know what they're talking about, but that's not my field. I don't do it, go into that kind of thing. But they're intelligent people, and they come up with these lies. How can you believe such lies? How can you believe that God made a mistake when he made you a man? He should have made you a woman. My goodness. So this is just one example of how society has gone off the. I want to read some more of this in the first chapter of Romans. Okay. I'm going to read a little bit in the Amplified. Let me read verse 19 here in the Amplified. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. Now, there is no excuse. A man can never say, well, God never showed me. I never heard about anything. I never heard about God. Come on, it says here, God is responsible. God will not send any man to hell unless he's had an opportunity to choose hell instead of heaven. God has made it very manifest, very clear. There is no way you could come to the complicated human being that we are today in just a random roll of the dice, a one of gazillion thousand of them. No. It's the hand of God. Now, verse 20 in the Amplified. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks, so men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. The PhD fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I asked Brother Jerry Cordato one time. I said, Jerry, he was a, well, he was still in our fellowship. He was a real proponent of creation. I said, Jerry, why do they do that? Why are they so stupid to believe in this kind of evolution? I'm talking about the root of where we are today. Some of the roots came through Darwinian evolution, some of the lie that people began to believe. I said, Jerry, why did they do it? He said, because if they acknowledge creation, they would have to acknowledge God, and they will not. If they acknowledge God, then they will have to acknowledge that he is a God, he must be obeyed, and that they won't do. So as a fool, they'll take any other theory to keep them from having to obey the Lord. Like I probably shared with you before, I almost called him the brother. Well, okay, the brother that I knew, that I talked to one time. I don't know if he's still a brother or not, because of the way he's walking. I asked him straight out, I said, how can you justify your lifestyle? The man that was brought up in a Christian home, went to a Christian church, went to a so-called Christian college or university or whatever. I'm not sure how Christian they are anymore, but they said they were. They said they believed the Bible. They studied the Bible. I said, okay, you studied the Bible. How do you account for the verses we're going to read here in Romans 1 and Deuteronomy? How do you justify that and still say that you're on the way to heaven and you're on the right way? How do you justify that? Let's start with Deuteronomy. Well, they said in our professors said, that's the way the ancient Hebrews, their ideas of God. Oh, so God has changed. We don't like what God wrote, so we're going to write our own Bible, which is essentially what they're doing with these new versions. They're writing their own Bible. Shade a different word in there with slightly different meaning, and this word can mean anything you want it to mean. Okay, so here we have a universal Bible now for a worldwide religion. It'll go real good when they get it tampered down and changed enough. It's rebellion, brother. All right, let me go on. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There, it wasn't my idea that said they were fools. The Bible says that they're fools. Let me back up again. These are not stupid people. They are brilliant minds. I mean, they learn things, law, medicine, what have you. I would never, I'd have to study for eons in order to learn the kind of things that these people are capable of learning. And yet they're fools. Amen? And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Well, our idols don't look like birds and four-footed creeping things anymore, you know, made of wood and what have you. No, we have more sophisticated idols today. We don't just have that wooden thing sitting up on a podium and bow down before that wooden. No, but we bow down to the same thing. We're modern man. Amen. Now, here we get into the nitty-gritty. Wherefore God also gave them up. Now, let me start right here. This is verse, let me get the right page here. This is verse 24. This very phrase is verse 26, verse 28. Amen? Three times it says here in Romans, therefore. Wherefore and therefore mean the same thing. And the Amplified is therefore. Three times it says God gave them up. God gave them over. God turned them over. It means the same thing. Why? It would appear that God has given up on them and he is no longer going to try to force truth on them. Now he's turned them over to the lying spirit and the deceptive spirit. And now they'll believe anything that comes along. As long as there's a whole lot of people that subscribe to it and say, well, this is the modern thinking now. We've got to help all the children change their gender. How stupid can we be as a society? I asked the African brethren, are you guys going through the same craziness in Africa that we are here in America and Europe? They shook their heads. No, they're not. This is just for the so-called advanced societies. All right, let me read it. For God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I mean, come on, you can't get it more clear than the way Paul puts it here in the next few verses. But let me define this word lust, through the lusts of their own heart. Now that's an old English, not the word lust, but the original word here could be in other places it comes out as concupiscence. You never heard of that word either, did you? We don't talk about, hey, you're getting involved in concupiscence there, brother. No. Here's the meaning. The meaning of that word is longing for the forbidden. So any intimate relationships that is not between man and woman, husband and wife, is concupiscence. What we have going on in this homosexual society, it's this kind of thing, longing for the forbidden. It's strange flesh. Amen? And verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, this is the example that I gave. You ask them, if they know the word of God, ask them how they can justify what they're doing. Well, they've changed the truth. Or they've said, well, that was the Old Testament. And you know, those things back in Genesis, they're just fables, you know. We're not sure that that really happened. We have no proof, you know. Brother, the flood of Noah happened. It really did. If you open your mind and look at the geology of the planet, it is very evident. Look in the American Southwest. That whole Salt Lake Flats was one time a massive lake that was being drained off from after the flood of Noah. It was. You know what? The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah really happened. It's not a fable. You go down, Ron Wyatt went down there to the salt, I'll call them the salt flats of Israel. It's not the salt. We have the salt flats. It's the Dead Sea. That whole area around the Dead Sea, that was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was once, the Bible says it was once like the Garden of Eden. When God got through with Sodom and Gomorrah, it's nothing but a big old unproductive thing that won't grow anything. Water that comes down in there, everything dies. There's nothing grows in the Red Sea, or the Dead Sea, I mean. All right, it really happened. So, and they serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, here we come again. For this cause, God gave them up. Three times, God gave them up. God gave them up. There came a time when God gave up on the Sodomites. Said, that's it. I can't have this thing going on. What happens when God gives up on a society? Now, brother, we're talking about the world here. This is not written about believers and their behavior. This is talking about the society in which we live. And this society is getting more and more corrupt and deceived to such an extent that I could never imagine. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use under which is against nature. This is lesbianism. Come on, brethren, we're adults, I can talk. This is what it is, the women. Who would have expected the women to be polluted? You know, I'm a man, I can understand pollution in a man. I don't understand it in a woman. To me, women have a high and lofty spiritual nature, you know, that just seems to me like it couldn't be corrupted. But here Paul said, yes, they're just as bad as the men. Amen? And likewise also the men. So he hits the women first, and then he says the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. There's that word, that's probably that same word, concupiscence, longing, lusting for the forbidden, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, the recompense of their error is the results that come as a result of that. I was around in the 1970s. I don't know how many of you were. Some of you were probably just kids back in the 1970s, just being born. But I remember when the AIDS thing first came on the scene, and in those days, they openly talked about how it was spread, because it wasn't politically incorrect. They said, well, it's mainly spread among male homosexuals and the kind of unclean activity that they have. Well, you don't dare say that anymore now, because you're offending their pride. See, they've come out of their closets now, and they're in the streets marching in their pride parades with their rainbow flags and all that, and they're very proud to be unclean. Very proud of it. Amen. So the recompense. The recompense means the just, let me read it here, verse 27. The penalty, the just penalty, I'll use the word just, the just penalty that is appropriate for that. I think I'll add this. When this came out in the 1970s, news people were free to write about it. And I remember getting a hold of an article. I used to read a lot of articles that I seem to have forgotten back in the 70s, like that Ik tribe somewhere in the mountains of Uganda, that the anthropologist himself said they're so far gone, we should just wipe them out as a tribe, not necessarily kill them, but let's not give them any recognition of their culture at all. So this epidemiologist, he decided he was going to trace the root of this HIV. In the early days, it could be traced. Now, this is what we used to do as public health nurses. There were certain things, mostly sexual transmitted diseases, that we would have to trace them down to where they came from and bring the culprit in and treat the culprit. Otherwise, it was just going to keep spreading. So this epidemiologist, he went and he did a lot of research. And you know what? He found the first case that came to America, whether it came from bats or monkeys or whatever, you know, that everything we don't know where it came from, it came from bats and monkeys. Okay, that's what they say. It probably didn't, but that's what they say. Fruit bats and some kind of monkeys, you know, and then it passed over into man. Well, maybe it did. Who knows where it came from? But it, according to God here, it was their just recompense of their error, which was proper meat. Okay. Now, this epidemiologist, what he found, the original case was a man. He was an airline steward that worked on international travel. He would travel to all these foreign countries on some major airline. I don't know what the name of the airline was. It might have been Pan Am or something like that, that went all over the world. He brought this thing back to San Francisco, and he began to spread it in these San Francisco dens of iniquity that they have, these bathhouses, whatever they're called, where the homosexuals gather. They laid it out right clear. They didn't give his name, but the man died of it. This is incurable. This is an incurable disease. And what I would say is there is a country, or maybe a couple of countries, in Central or South Africa, not the country South Africa, but south of Uganda, and the HIV infection rate among these adult people is almost 20%. Somebody put on the chat, they said it's Losito, or what was the other one? Where is Losito? Oh, Rita, what was the other country? You don't remember. Show me a map of Central Africa and I'll tell you. Botswana. Botswana is where it was. Yeah. These, you know, once it's incorporated by the homosexual community, yeah, it spreads. Because these people are not strictly AC, they're both ways. And so it spreads into the among the prostitutes and everything else. And 20%, imagine 20% of your population, they're going to die. They have they cannot cure this thing. They can control it, but they cannot cure it. They can slow it down. But sooner or later, they're going to die of it. That's the way it's going to happen. A lot of big sport and Hollywood people dying of this thing. and have died of it. Big money people. That's why it's politically incorrect to talk about it. All right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Here's the third time in this chapter, God gave them over. God gave them over. When we get into 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see again how God gave them over to a very strong deceiving spirit, and they will buy the man of sin. They will buy his deception, because God is going to send strong deception. Now, can you understand why these highly educated people in high positions, how did they ever get into these high positions? I'm going to give you a few examples, all right, of this society that is not only corrupt, but totally deceived. Intelligent, gifted people, deceived. And they set policies in the government to foster this lie. I'm going to give you some things that I just saw. This week, I said, I'm going to write down just the things that come on my news on my phone. And I'll make sure it has a high value of being correct. Okay? In Massachusetts, the neighbor of New York, okay, just as wicked, just as vile in their belief as we are, you know, home of the Kennedys and all that, but they're a very liberal state. They have a foster care program. You have to go through social work to, if you want to have a, you know, if you want to keep foster children, if you want to adopt through the official program, you have to be approved. They examine you, make sure you're not living in a hovel, make sure you're, you know, have an income, and, you know, just make sure you're a decent person. Well, their definition of a decent person is changing. I remember the time if you were a homosexual couple living together in sin, male or female, you could not get kids. They would not give them to you because it was considered unseemly. You know, the society said, no, we can't give our children to that kind of thing. These people are doing things that's not right. Not today. A Roman Catholic couple. Okay, they're not born again, but they have conservative values. Basically, 9 out of 10 times, except for religion, they think the way we think. Conservative people, politically conservative, okay? Socially conservative. They would not let them have foster children because they are a conservative Roman Catholic couple, man and woman. They denied. They were denied. So what have they done? They have made a lawsuit against the state, saying that their rights were denied because they're straight and because they're normal. And in that article, it said that the governor of Massachusetts is a lesbian. Well, let's ask the question again, how did these kind of people get into these high positions? We had a man running for president that was of that persuasion. Buttigieg, I'll say his name. Well, he didn't win, but when Biden got in, he appointed him Secretary of Transportation. This guy had been the mayor of South Bend, which is a conservative community. I mean, South Bend. Isn't that where Notre Dame is? Big Catholic community? How did they get in? They got in because at this time, more than half the people in our society say, let it be. Let them do whatever they want. What do we care? It's not our business what goes on in their bedroom. So we don't care. More than half of us don't care, so they can get in, they can get your vote, and they can take over government. It's coming more and more. More and more of these people coming into high positions. And when they get into these high positions, don't you dare speak against it. Or they're going to find some way to accuse you of hate speech or something else. It's coming. I'm telling you, the cup is not full, but it's almost full. And when it gets full and God begins to pour that cup out, you're going to know it. It isn't going to be a pleasant scene. Let me just finish a couple more verses here. But being filled with all unrighteousness, now he names them all off here. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Oh, murder, wow. Murder going on big time now, isn't it? Step on a guy's lawn. You're likely to get shot. Well, not in the community where I live. You know, I've talked to people on the street, just talk a little bit. This little community up here where we live, no, these people don't think like that. But you get down in the big cities where the big wheeling and dealing goes on, yes, they are liberal. Oh, I was telling about the Supreme Court justice. I don't know, one of the conservative ones, I don't remember which one. We have more conservative justices now in the Supreme Court. One of them made a statement and put it, and it got put on the news, that he will no longer accept interns from Stanford University Law School. Stanford. Big three, Yale, Harvard, Stanford, big famous law schools. Why will he not accept anybody from Stanford? He said because they are so polluted in their thinking from what they get at the professors at Stanford, I will not have them as interns working for me in the Supreme Court. I will not have them. One little voice to speak out what's happening. Amen. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. See, they're encouraging disobedience of children by not wanting to involve their parents if these children want to change their genders. Do you know what they call that in order to get funding to do that? They call it gender-affirming care. That's not gender-affirming care. That's gender-changing destruction. If they really carry out the surgery on these things, it leaves people horribly mutilated. Horribly mutilated. The men are totally emasculated. And if they go even further with their surgery, it just leaves a terrible wound on them in the attempt to make them into a female. A total failure. It can't be done. And yet they are deceived to believe that somehow this is something that's going to make them a whole lot happier than they've ever been before. They start with little children. Little children. Can you imagine parents turning their little children? How many times has a little sister maybe said, "Mommy, brother does all these nice things. Why can't I be a brother?" Oh, let's run her off to the doctor now and give her all kinds of hormones and everything else to suppress her puberty so she doesn't grow up to be a woman. Doctors, hello. Doctors, intelligent human beings are doing this to people. What has happened to our thinking? What kind of deception has gone into their minds? Okay, I want to give you, let me just read the last verse here. Now, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. You wouldn't dare read that today, would you? Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they encourage each other in it. All right, let me give you the list of things. I already gave you a couple of them, the Catholic couple. Did I mention the school board in California? All right, there's a school board in California whose president is a woman. I'll say thank God for this woman. Amen. She's a woman, and she decided that she is going to give the parents rights of knowing everything that's going on in this school. Do you know that the attorney general has come against that school board and said, no, the parents have no right to know what goes on? These are their rights. By the way, we're talking about creation. Do you know that the founding fathers believed in creation? Come on, you know that, you know what it says. We hold these truths, this 250 years ago, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, hello, created, that means there's a creator, all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And then they probably went off a little bit and they said, what is it? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Okay. Well, it wasn't originally going to be pursuit of happiness. That's not, I don't know that that's in the Bible, pursuit of happiness. I suppose you have a right to do it. What the original wording was, life, liberty, and ownership of property. But then somebody discovered, well, we're going to have to tax them out of their property and take it away from them, so we better not put that phrase in there. Nevertheless, endowed by their creator. You cannot say that our founding fathers did not believe in creation. They did. They did. Okay, on with my list. What's happened? Same-sex marriage. I didn't have to read that today or yesterday. Unthinkable. Unthinkable when I was a kid. Unthinkable. People that lived this kind of a lifestyle, the police would come in and arrest them. Yes, you're raising your eyebrows. They did. This was against the law. But now, it's exalted and it's protected. And if you want to get foster kids, this is probably in the best position to get them of all. Changing the gender. Two more. Let me give you two more. The example of a vegan mom. You know what a vegan is? You know the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan? Vegetarians like vegetables, but they'll eat eggs and maybe fish and break the rules a little bit, you know, but not a vegan. No protein that ever comes from an animal will a vegan ever eat. I don't know how they keep their health, but anyway, this vegan mom, her little girl has head lice. And so they offer to give her that shampoo that kills them off. No, 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 no. These are living things. We can't kill them. So what are you going to do about it? So she tries to comb all the lice out of her daughter's hair, and she's going to take the lice out in the garden and drop them in the garden because they might be able to live out here. Hello? What is happening to intelligence? What has happened to common sense? Remember that email we got one time about the obituary of common sense? how he died wasn't really mourned by too many people. Yeah, I had to find that and send it out again. The death of common sense. All right, one more. The Pope. He actually did this last week. He had his picture on there, his big nose and everything. And he says that the Catholic Church welcomes into the church the LGBTQ plus. They're welcome in the church now. However, he put his little finger up and he says, however, there will be rules. Well, I wonder what rules. He's probably expecting them to remain celibate. In other words, they can just come in with their little limp wrists and their light loafers and all, and just be good little boys and girls. No, come on. Come on. He knows better. His priests aren't. You guys got to get a hold of that movie that I was telling you about. What was the name of that movie? It was made in Boston, Massachusetts. Do you remember the name of it? Spotlight. Go get that movie. Buy the last copy if it's the last one and watch that thing. It is a real, it is the newspaper. God bless them. I'll give this liberal newspaper something. They did the research. They went out, they interviewed, they gathered statistics, and you would be appalled at what they found. The percentage of Catholic priests who are not celibate. Mostly because they're pedophiles, homosexuals, and adulterers, fornicators. They're not celibate. Maybe a rare one or two is. Get that book by Brother Shadiq. Brother Shadiq. 50 years in the Church of Rome. Get it from Chick Publications. Chick is publishing that book. That priest was in the inner circle. He knew what was going on. And by the way, if they weren't any of these things, they were drunks. All of them. He stood out. He was the only one that was living a clean life. He couldn't understand why the other. He wasn't even a Christian in those days. All right, we're going to go on to 2 Thessalonians, and that'll be part two. God bless. I better shut this off now. Here we go.